Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, joined in the press box by my colleague Richard Pollock. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to give you analysis and a breakdown of the Winnipeg Jets' 4-2 defeat this afternoon at the hands of the St. Louis Blues. Richard, a game that was 2-2 entering into the third period, where the Blues outshot and outchanced the Jets and outscored the Jets 2-0 in the third period to take a 4-2 lead and win the game by that same 4-2 margin.
You know, Drew, it really was kind of a reverse of last game against Calgary on Friday night, where the Jets came out slow and just, you know, and got better throughout the game. This game was kind of the opposite. Jets came out really well. First 5-10 minutes, playing a pretty, you know, taking it to the Blues, and I think shots were about 12-6 at some point, although the Blues were getting some quality chances. But as the game went on, the Blues played a smart game, played a physical game. I thought they were extremely physical with the Jets, and were the better team tonight. More chances, created more opportunities, and if not for Andre Pavlik, and we said this a bunch this year, it's only six games. You're only, you know, 6 games into the season. He's played 4 games. He's been tremendous, really, in all four. Today could have been, you know, 5-6-2 if not for him.
Yeah, you're exactly right with that. Andre Pavlik was very good for the Winnipeg Jets, despite giving up 4 goals. There were a number of point-blank chances that the Blues had where he had to come up big in keeping the Jets in the game. You know, this is a St. Louis Blues team that entered the game without Paul Stastny, injured on their road trip, without Kevin Shattenkirk, also injured on the road trip. So they were playing guys higher in the lineup than they really intended to. Scott Gomez and Scotty Upshaw, two guys who just, you know, made the team on PTOs in training camp, played some significant minutes for the St. Louis Blues. They were, you know, the quote is, you know, the cliche is the Blues were ripe for the picking based on the lineup, you know, their injuries and the Jets being a healthy squad, with the exception of Ben Chiarot being a little nicked up, and the Jets just couldn't take advantage. And the St. Louis Blues were really, like you said, the better of the two teams for the majority of the game.
Yeah, you know, Drew, I thought they got better. And I don't know. I mean, they're in the midst of a road trip here, so you would think, I agree with you, that they're ripe for the picking. I think the Jets, this is a different squad than they've played. Maybe the most, I don't think they've played a team really as physical as the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, you're back in the Central Division now. The quality of play is high. So the Jets will adjust to it. But, you know, when you play against a good, smart team, and I think another thing is the Jets, a game or two, maybe, you know, they got some bounces today. They didn't necessarily get all the bounces. And I just thought if the Jets come out and play next time against St. Louis, which they're going to play them 5 times, you know, per year, of course, I think the Jets want to exert a little bit more physical force, a little more physicality at the beginning of the game, and assert themselves a little bit in that respect. Have to play a little bit of a smarter game, you know, not turning the puck over in the neutral zone, taking the right guy. I thought one thing I found the Jets doing tonight was because St. Louis was playing a physical, hard game, Jets tried to match that a bit and tried to overcompensate, I thought. Last year, I thought they would have a little bit more depth physically, and I don't think that's going to be an issue really against the league itself, but trying to make up for that today. You see Dustin Byfuglien, we'll talk about that hit. Even Jacob Trouba being a little bit overly aggressive at times and reined it in. You know, your identity is a team that's pretty physical, but more skill now than before. Understand that, embrace that identity, and don't try and overcompensate, and don't try and do too much.
Can you make the argument to that point? Can you make the argument that Paul Maurice sort of played into the hands of the St. Louis Blues by putting Anthony Peluso in the lineup and taking Nick Petan? You know, certainly got a ton of skill, obviously very small, though. Can you make the argument that you know, Paul Maurice sort of played into the hands of the St. Louis Blues by making that roster decision?
I mean, maybe you could make that argument, Drew. I think that's fair. I don't think Peluso needs to play. I don't see the need. I don't see that the value is really if he's going to play, unless he was playing in place of Chris Thorburn. Like, that's what I don't necessarily understand. I know they want to be bigger against the fourth line of St. Louis, but the truth is the fourth line of St. Louis is a lot better than they were today. They were very effective, I thought, today. Steve Ott, Ryan Reeves. I mean, when you have guys, and they come in on there, and Kyle Brodziak, so you have guys right and left, face-off guys, and Brodziak and Ott, and Reeves is, you know, moves well for a big guy, and Brodziak and Ott don't move particularly well, but they're smart and physical, and Brodziak had a good chance today. So you're going to get outplayed there. So I think Petan helps you in playing them. Having said all of that, I realized that Nikolai Ehlers a couple of times today backed off some of the big trains, trucks that were coming down the road there. So you might want to protect Petan and let him kind of watch from afar. But I think going forward, you do want to be playing, I think, your skill players against the team. I do agree that there's no need to play I mean, if you're going to feed into that with a higher quality player who I think fits better into the roster, fine, but I just don't think that was the right fit. Now, again, he's wanting to get these guys in the lineup because everybody needs to get a chance. You know, Party's been in now, and he wants to get these guys in to give them a shot to get acclimated and doesn't want them to feel left out. So next game, I would think he goes back to Patan when they play a physical team like this. And the next physical team that they play, Minnesota and Tampa aren't overly physical. I think probably you're looking at Los Angeles being the next physical team they play.
Which is coming up in not next week, the week after on a Tuesday evening against Los Angeles. First period saw no scoring, but there were a couple opportunities there. Drew Stafford should have had a breakaway. Jacob Trouba just misses him with the pass. This was during four-on-four action. Just needed to sort of poke it ahead. He just poked it a little bit too far past Stafford there. So you can chalk that up to a bit of a missed opportunity. Andre Pavlik with a number of point-blank saves, particularly a glove save on Kyle Brodziak. Brian Elliott also quite good for the Blues as the Jets put the pressure on them in the first 10 minutes of the first period in particular.
Well, in this first goal here, you're seeing is a 3-on-3 coming down. The Blues coming down with Tarasenko and Laterra and Yaskin. And the pass gets over to Yaskin on the right side. Trouba takes him out. Is he a little bit too aggressive? Maybe, but at the end of the day, you have numbers. You have 3-on-3, and you're going to say we can play man-up defense. So Trouba takes out Yaskin. Laterra's smart. He makes an initial pass, and he drives up the middle. And when he drives up the middle, he creates space, and that's the thing. You know, you have 3-on-2, for example, or 3-on-3, you have to create space. Laterra comes up the middle, Little takes him, and the pass is put over to Tarasenko. He gets in a one-on-one position with Dustin Byfuglien, and Byfuglien's a good skater for a big guy, of course, but Tarasenko is just quick. He knows what he wants to do. It goes right, left, shot, up glove, back to the right. Few players can do it that effectively, and it was really a top-end skill goal.
That was the Blues' first goal, came at the 3:27 mark of the second period. Vladimir Tarasenko with his fourth of the year assist to Yaskin and Laterra. The Jets were able to respond just over a minute later. It came on the power play. Matthew Perreault gets his first of the year assist to Blake Wheeler and Brian Little. Great pass from Wheeler to Perreault all alone.
In this goal, yeah, you got Little on the half boards to the right of Brian Elliott. You got Wheeler in the right corner, or the left corner, excuse me. And so Little passes the puck to Wheeler. And what's happening here is the Blues are trying to take away the low pass. Specifically, Carl Gunnarsson, left side defenseman, is trying to take away the low pass. And you have Steve Ott is down taking the guy in the middle, which I believe is Andrew Ladd there, I believe. And so when he's got the guy in the high slot, Andrew Ladd, Gunnarsson is responsible for blocking off that backdoor pass. Wheeler makes a nice pass. Gunnarsson doesn't block it. And obviously the rotation's off because Ott is kind of committed to the guy in the high slot. Perreault's wide open there, and it's 1-1.
Blues were able to make it 2-1 at the 9:42 mark of the second period. Scotty Upshall gets his second of the year assist to Dmitry Yaskin and Joel Edmondson. This is an even strength goal at the 9:42 mark.
Yeah, you know, the guys like this beat you, then you're going to get a little bit upset, right? You have Gomez here, who I thought played a pretty good game, Drew, I got to say. You know, he moved the puck really well, and he gets the puck to Edmondson, who didn't have a great game for St. Louis. One of their guys probably gets pushed out once Kevin Shattenkirk comes back, and he moves the puck over to Dmitry Yaskin. Yaskin had a pretty solid game. He was quite involved in most things. Puts the puck in front of the net, and then Upshall's in for the rebound. So Yaskin's a big guy, Drew, and this goal probably was caused by another big guy. It's Adam Lowry's turnover in the neutral zone, and one of those things where the Jets did turn, you know, I want to pick on Adam Lowry, but the Jets did turn the puck over a bunch today, and so you don't want to get, that's their third line by the Blues. In reality, when their top guys are back, that pushes guys out of the lineup, but it's one of those go to the net kind of goals, and I thought Yaskin had a particularly solid game tonight.
The Jets were able to equalize less than 3 minutes later. Drew Stafford gets his second of the year on the power play assist to Nikolai Ehlers and Mark Scheifele. We talked about it on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Good things happen when you put the puck on net. That's what Nikolai Ehlers does from the point, and Drew Stafford gets the tip on it and beats Brian Elliott.
Yeah, the puck gets rotated down from the, so this is on the power play here for the Jets on the right side. Stafford gets it over to Scheifele, who kind of rotates up, and Scheifele makes the pass to Ehlers on the blue line, so you have a bunch of the forwards kind of moving the puck on the defenseman area. Ehlers is... Alex Steen is the guy between Ehlers and between Scheifele, and it looks like Alex Steen wants to take away the pass to Scheifele because he's worried about him stepping in with the wrist shot that he has. So Steen kind of commits to Scheifele, which gives Ehlers a little more of an opportunity to put the puck on net. When Ehlers goes to take a wrist shot, Steen realizes it, puts his stick in the lane. His stick actually gets hit by Ehlers' shot and flies out of his hands, and Ehlers' shot gets put on the ice, gets put on net. It's a high shot. Drew Stafford, nice screen in front, actually hits Drew Stafford, originally credited to Ehlers, but eventually credit to Stafford. And it's a simple goal, but a good goal by the Jets.
After 40 minutes, the score was tied up at 2 goals apiece, so it's anybody's contest for the final 20 minutes of the game. The St. Louis Blues get the what it proves to be the game-winning goal at the 9:50 mark of the third period. It comes with the Jets about to face a delayed penalty, so the Blues have an extra man on the ice. Vladimir Tarasenko, he was the first star of the game for a reason. He's just fantastically skilled, and he was dangerous the entire night. Tarasenko gets his fifth of the year, assist to Scotty Gomez and Carl Gunnarsson. What'd you see on this goal there, Richie?
That's a delayed power play goal here, Drew, and so you're going to see it be marked as even strength. But in reality, it's a 6-on-5 there. Of course, that technically is even strength, but you pull the goalie. And what I saw in this play was good puck movement, and the Jets were tired. Andrew Ladd, Brian Litt, all those guys have been on there for a while, and this Blues were playing keep away. They did a nice job of playing keep away. And again, Scotty Gomez, his name, didn't get a sister in the earlier goal, but certainly deserved one. He's able to identify Tarasenko on the weak side. And when you have guys scattered around a bit. And when the Blues were rotating around, and when you have six guys on the ice, it's harder to defend. So you have to make sure you defend certain zones. And Tarasenko ended up being lined up on the right point, really, and he moved in. That's Andrew Ladd's guy. He's the left winger. He didn't get over. And that's a problem. And he didn't get over on a guy with maybe arguably the best wrist shot in the National Hockey League. Tarasenko comes in, steps in. Had a great couple of great chances tonight. Put this one under. It looked like it was under Andrei Pavlik's right arm. And 3-2.
3-2 at that point in time. The Jets obviously trying to equalize. Dustin Byfuglien, you know, for all the good he does, he also does some things that leave you scratching your head. He takes an unnecessary charging penalty in order to deliver a hit onto Alex Pietrangelo. It seems to be based really out of frustration more than anything. This happens late in the game. On Jay Bouwmeester, not Alex Pietrangelo. On Jay Bouwmeester, this comes with just over 2.5 minutes to go in the game. And Byfuglien, as a result, they both get offsetting roughing penalties. But Byfuglien gets an extra penalty for charging. So the Jets are shorthanded with 2.5 minutes to go. And the Blues capitalize with 1:07 to go. Carl Gunnarsson gets his first of the year. Assist to Colton Parayko and David Backes. It's a 4-2 Blues victory on that goal. Just icing on the cake. Undisciplined penalty by Dustin Byfuglien and ends up costing the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, undisciplined, unnecessary, Drew. You know, those two are usually synonymous with each other, right? I mean, what are you doing there? You're angry at the way the game's going a bit, and Buffalo's been very good this season. He had some spurts of being very good today, but Bouwmeester comes around the offensive side of the net. Byfuglien had been kind of floating around, creating offense in the neutral zone, being high in the zone defensively, and ends up just hammering Bouwmeester. It was a huge hit, Drew. Mm-hmm. Hammers Bouwmeester, but he clearly charged him and came at him from a mile away to get his anger out. And then Scotty Upshaw's third man in, and he fights him, tries to fight him too, and they each get roughing penalties. But the hit itself, it's the time. You know, 2.5 minutes left, you take a penalty there, game over. That's exactly what happened. Goal or not from St. Louis on the power play, game over. So undisciplined play, an unnecessary play. Not to say the Jets deserved to win the game or would have won the game because they weren't the better team today. But you don't need to take that penalty. You exert your force in different ways. In terms of the goal itself, you know, again, the time, you know, you have to take into account the timing of everything, right? So what happens? The Jets are scattered around. They're trying to create opportunities. They're trying to get offense. And that's why you have Parayko making a nice pass to Gunnarsson, who's the deep man in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Jets.
Even though he's a defenseman.
The Jets are all scattered around, so the Blues get a lot of open ice. Parayko is a nice pass. Like Anderson, nice tip, and it's over Pavlik, and it's game over. But it's really game over when you take the penalty.
That's right. That made the final score this afternoon 4-2. The Jets will now take a little bit of a break. They've had a busy start to the season. They're going to be off until Friday when they face the Tampa Bay Lightning. We remind you, NHL Midweek will be Wednesday at 7 p.m. after the Blue Jays game on TSN 1290. Stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com for all your post-game commentary from the Jets and the Blues dressing room. And for my colleagues, Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg doing yeoman's work gathering audio for analyst Richard Pollock. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.